One of the most discussed topics that we, you know, once you became a Christian, you hear a lot is the love of God. We sing about how deep the Father's love for me. Your grace is enough. I mean, amazing love. We sing so many songs about love. And, you know, and people have, in the secular arena, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. You know, and so where's the love? Black, I mean, people talk about this thing, and it's like we still kind of don't get it. What is love? So, you know, sometimes we talk about, too, this idea, is God's love unconditional, or is it conditional? In other words, unconditional means that, you know, that he gives it to you, and he doesn't expect anything in return. I believe it is one of the most, the love of God is one of the most misunderstood topics in the Bible, because sometimes we leave it up to our own explanation. And our own explanation, you know, might not be perfect. So we had to go back to Scripture to see how God himself defines love for us so that we adopt his definition and not my own. You know, sometimes we talk about God's love being unconditional, but we fail to explain what it means. What does it actually mean when we say that God's love is unconditional? We need to define those adjectives: conditional, unconditional, unending love. I mean, what do we actually mean by that? Today, I would like to spend some time looking at God's love so we can understand better what we mean when we attach adjectives like God loves me unconditionally or conditionally. I mean, which one is it, or is it both? So I'm going to show you a text in which you see both aspects of God just in that particular text in the Bible. You know, when we say that God loves me unconditional, you know, by the way, that's not even in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that when we say God loves me unconditional. Nowhere in the Bible you're going to find that phrase. I mean, we kind of get it from some places, you know. But what is it? How does God love me? And that's what I want you, you know, like I see being in the church for a long time and we talk and preach. And I'm guilty of, I have said before, God loves you unconditionally. Because I grew up saying it like many of us. But what do we actually mean by that? And I'm going to show you, hopefully, through God's Spirit, at the end of the day, you have a better grip about what it means. What is God's love? So, the most famous verse in the Bible, that's the one we're going to use today. Everybody knows it, even secular people, John 3:16. By the way, you already memorized it. I mean, we know it that well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Other translation will say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. There's the love of God. So, we're talking about unconditional? Conditional. God so loved the world. So, God's giving his Son to the world is unconditional. So, for some of you who take notes, God's giving of the Son to the world, God so loved the world that he gave, the giving is unconditional. It's for everyone. Are you with me so far? So, God so loved the world, and he showed it, what? Giving his Son. God so loved the world that he gave. So the giving of God to the world is unconditional. So what does that mean? The person doing the giving does not require anything to be done in exchange. So I'm going to give you Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for blacks and whites, Filipinos, Latinos. So he gave him for every race under earth, under heaven. So God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. So Jesus is God's gift to the world. And you don't have to pay for it. Just like here, I got this gift for you. I don't expect anything in return. That's unconditional. When you give something like that, unconditionally. Jesus died for every person. His death also was unconditional. He died for everyone. There's no exception. Everyone, even for the trees and the animals. Jesus Christ died to restore the whole planet. So that's unconditional. He said, I'm gonna sacrifice my life so that people be reconciled to God. And I'm going to do that willingly. I don't expect anything in exchange. I'm just doing it unconditionally. You see, God's first initiative in saving people was unconditional, giving Jesus. Romans 5:8 said that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave. The giving of God to the world, unconditional. Why? Because he gave Jesus to everyone. Everyone. Truly, that's why all lives matter to God. You see, even right there, he gave it to everyone. The giving of Jesus to the world is unconditional. See, God's initial response in saving the world is an act of love. It's giving the world a chance to be saved. It's an act of grace. God provided the solution for our sin problem, and that solution is unconditional. He says, you know, you have a problem, here's how you can resolve it. He just placed it out there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. This is the aspect of God's love that's unconditional. The giving of Jesus. The providing the solution. The providing the remedy for you to be cured. You see, when people talk about God's love being unconditional, they usually think about that God loves them just the way they are. You know, how many of us have used that? But God loved me just the way I am. You know, there are some truth to that, but that's not totally biblical. Let me show you two sentences. When people say, you know, God loves me the way I am, it doesn't matter what I've done. God does not love me either way. You're saying that you don't need to change. If God loves you the way you are, but then why does he expect me to change? He's going to love you, I mean, just how you are. Let me show you these two sentences from a book entitled The Battle of the Rules by a man named Mark Gunger. He's the writer and author and preacher of a series called Laughing Your Way into a Better Marriage. And he has this book entitled The Battle of the Rules. And in that book, he addressed this idea of unconditional love or conditional. And he says, listen, pay attention to these two sentences. God loves you just the way you are implies you don't need to change. I mean, think about it. Use logic for a moment. If God loves you the way you are, so doesn't matter what you do, he's always going to love you. I mean, you don't need to change because he's just going to love you just like you are. The other sentence says, God loves me despite the way I am. This one implies that you need to change. This one is more is closer to what the Bible teaches, because you know the Bible always talks about that we all need to change. This is what we call the process of sanctification. Yes, God loves you despite the way you are, because he still expects something from you. Are you with me? So you remember, God loves you the way you are. Oh, I don't need to change. Think about it. God loves me despite the way I am. I need to change. He's going to do some change. That's why the Holy Spirit isn't here. He's transforming people. I mean, think about it. Why do you think that God's ultimate plan is to mold us more like Jesus? Then, you see, he's going to love you despite who you are, but there's a plan to mold you to be more like Jesus, because if he's going to love you just the way you are, you don't need to repent ever. Right? If he's going to love you just the way you are, you can live your life whichever way, and it's okay. Are you with me now? You understand that the danger when God, a lot of people say, oh, God loves me the way you are. God loves everybody the way they are. God loves you despite who you are. That's more. God loves you in spite of the nastiness that you have in your sin. You know, whoever, he loves you despite that. But then he's going to do something to restore you. So, like I said, the Bible teaches more that God loves you and I despite who we are. Because what does the Bible say? That we are all sinners. And we can fall short of the glory of God. So you see, he loves us despite who we are. And we just read, God demonstrated his own love in this. While we were still sinners, despite our sin, Christ died for us. You see how that fits more into that? Because if he loves me the way I am, I mean, don't hold me accountable when I sin then. Right? I mean, it's just going to happen. No, he loves me despite who I am. And you see that through the Bible. Now, let's go back, reviewing. God so loved the world that he gave. The giving of God to the world, the giving of his son, is unconditional. The giving. That is God's first response to save you. The giving. God's first response to provide the solution. Unconditional. He gave Jesus for everyone. Here comes the other part. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him, condition. You notice that? So that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's saving love is conditional. I say that again. God's saving love is conditional. To save you, there are conditions for you to be saved. God's not going to come and just, I'm going to save you because I want to. He doesn't do that. There are some things God cannot do, and it's just to save you, even if you don't want to be saved. God's saving love is conditional. God's first response to save you, unconditional. The response to give you something, but to be saved, there is condition. What is the condition? Believe in Jesus. You notice that? For God so loved the world, unconditional, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So there's a condition that you need to believe in Jesus in order for you to not be lost. For people to be saved, they must meet certain conditions. Like I said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son unconditionally for everyone under heaven, so that whoever believes, there's a condition, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Faith, believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, is the condition that God requires for people to be saved. And by the way, he's not changing his mind. See, a lot of people in our society, they want to GPS their way around Jesus, and I don't know how they're going to do it. It's God's heaven. It's his rule. That's what he said. You know, but people think like, oh, you know, God would understand. Because we sometimes think that God is like us. So, he loves you. In order for you to be saved, he prays that you need to believe in Jesus. God's saving love has conditions. It demands a response from you. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, without conditions and rules, love is impossible. Without conditions and rules, love is an impossibility. You know, you cannot love. Love will not exist if there are no rules and conditions. I don't know, even when people get married, they laid out the conditions right there. In better, and for in goodness, and in health. In health, you know, and poor for richer. And you're denouncing everybody else. You're going to focus yourself to that one. What do you think that is? When the conditions. But you know what I noticed? A lot of people want to write their own vows. Oh, I'm going to love you forever. And we're going to... I mean, seriously, it's almost like a fairy tale. You know what I mean? It's like, where are the conditions? You know what I mean? I mean, think about some of you, many of us who are married. Let me show you all the conditions right here. Why is it you cannot just take any woman to coffee if you are married? Because you already have some conditions right here that you already said, no, this is the one you take to coffee. This is the one you take to coffee. You know what I mean? Without conditions and rules, love is absurd. It's an impossibility. God made lots of promises in the Bible. And I don't know if you knew this. All the promises of God, they all have conditions, by the way. I mean, we read it and we kind of like, yeah, it's great, great promises. And we love to attach those verses that we like, those promises, and we forget about the conditions. Let me show you just some of those verses. So, I mean, you can do a research. Let me find all the promises of God that doesn't have a condition. In other words, that it's just like, he's just going to do it whether you do it or not. All the promises of God in the Bible, as far as I've looked, they have condition. Let me show you one. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him. What's the promise here? Eternal life. What's the condition? Believe in the Son. So God wants to give eternal life for everyone, but what's the condition? Whoever believes in the Son. Because it said whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on that person. That's one of the promises, eternal life, but there's a condition, believe in the Son. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the promise? Rest. Everybody wants rest. Oh, God's going to give me rest. Yes, Lord, I'm praying. What's the condition? You have to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The promise, rest. But what do you need to do? Come to him. If you don't come to Jesus, don't expect rest then. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. It will be given to me. But I must do what? Ask. Seek and you will find. What's the promise? You will find. But you must be seeking. Knock and the door will be open. The door will be open when I do what? Knock. You notice how everything is like, there's a condition, but there's something you got to do. There are conditions. And how about this one that we love? For those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Who are those ones who are going to be soaring on wings like eagles? Those who trust, or those who wait on the Lord. If you're not waiting on the Lord, don't expect to be mounting on wings like eagles. Because it said, those who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. Maybe you don't have any strength because you haven't been waiting on the Lord, maybe. Have you thought about that? I mean, even that one has condition. When God made a covenant with Israel, he says, if you obey me fully, I will be your God and you will be my people. I will be your God, but you need to obey me fully. You see, condition. All the promises of God you're going to find. To him who overcome, I will give him the hidden manna. You need to overcome in order for you to enjoy in Revelation, so many. Because love without condition is an impossibility. Conditions are necessary in order for you to have a healthy relationship. When God chose the nation of Israel, they enter into a covenant relationship, just like a wife and a husband enter into a marriage covenant relationship, this pact. And the Lord, through Jeremiah the prophet, told them, but God gave them this command, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all that I command, that it may go well with you. Promise. It might go well with you. How? When you obey what he's commanding. You see, I mean, all the promises of God, there's a condition attached to that. If you do that, then you can enjoy the promise. But if you don't do it, the promise is not for you. Conditions are necessary in order to have a healthy relationship. You see, many of the Israelites did not abide by God's terms and condition. And many of them did not even enter the land of the promise because he said before them the agreement. I'll be your God. I will follow you. But if you disobey me, I will be your enemy. And many of you know the story of the Israelites. You know, when we come into the New Testament, Jesus did something similar. He defined the type of relationship he wanted with his followers. You know, how many people came to Jesus, oh, I will follow you. And Jesus said, like, I don't even have a place to lay my head. Like, are you sure you want to do this? Jesus never said, okay. You know. He told them, when people say, I want to follow you, this is the term of the agreement right here. Matthew 16:24 and Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, he or she must deny himself, take up your cross daily, and then follow me. If you want to follow me, this is what you need to do. You feel me? You see what I'm saying? Like Jesus said, you must deny yourself, self-deny. Take up your cross. In other words, you're going to be willing to sacrifice yourself. You're going to be willing to die for me. Are you willing to count the cost? I mean, follow me. It's not going to be easy. So Jesus already laid out, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. To be in a relationship with Jesus, there are conditions we must meet. To be in a loving relationship, there must be conditions for it to work. Jesus already laid out what he expects of those he wanted to be his disciples. John 14. And 21. Jesus said, this is Jesus really talking. John is just quoting Jesus. He said, if you love me, you will obey my command. There it is. So in order for us to show Jesus that we love him, we have to obey what he commands. We have to obey his teaching. You love me, you will obey what I command. You see, this is why it's not about what you feel or what about what the government tells you. Oh, yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, no. Jesus just said, if you love me, you obey what I command. That's how you show God that you love him. He demonstrated that he loves you by dying for you regardless of your sins. Even when you were sinners, he still did it for you. Jesus said, you love me, you will obey my command. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one that loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show himself to him. Now, just think about that verse. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, like, if you don't love me, my Father will not love you. Love has conditions. To enter into a relationship with God, there are conditions that you and I will meet. And he is the one who set out the terms of that relationship. Obedience to his command. He said, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus will show himself to whom? Those who love him. You see, God's saving love has conditions. We know it's faith. He cannot save you if people refuse the condition. God wants to save. Now, we know in the Bible, God wants to save everyone. And the reason that he provided the remedy unconditionally is because he wants to save everyone. But not everyone wants to be saved. You know, people still think, like, well, I don't need you, Jesus. Like, And we say, well, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. You know, there's no other way. You know, God cannot save anybody who refuses his condition. God cannot save you if you refuse Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you believe in him, you are saved. But if you reject him, you stand condemned already, according to verse 18 of John 3. So God wants everyone to come to him. That's what he's always calling. God wants to save the whole world. Now, there's something dangerous out there. It's called universalism. They say that philosophy teaches that at the end, everyone will be saved. Be careful with that book entitled Love Wins. No, love doesn't win. God wins at the end. And so universalism says, yeah, it doesn't matter what you do at the end, everyone will be saved. But that goes against what you see in Revelation. I mean, there's the sheep and the goats. So apparently the goats did not make it, just the sheep. There's the righteous and the unrighteous. So how can you tell me in this philosophy that everyone will be saved? Not according to the Bible, because not everyone wants to meet the condition of God to believe in Jesus. People want to do the GPS their way around Jesus, and you can't. I'm sorry. You cannot. Because I did not make the rules. The rule maker made him. God. And he says, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. So you and I, my friends, need to believe in Jesus. He's the one that's going to get you there. He's the condition. So God cannot save those who do not want to be saved. You remember the story of the man? Josiah reminded me that because, and I didn't have that, but it just came to my mind right now. The man that was a flood and he was drowning. The water was rising and people came on a boat and said, hey, just climb on the boat to be saved. And the guy said, no, just leave. God will save me. Go ahead. God will save me. So the water was rising and rising to the point. It was like, the only thing you can see of the house was the roof. The man climbed the roof of the house. And here comes a cop. The ladder. Climb up the door. Come on, we're going to save you. Leave. God's going to save me. You know, the story said that the man drowned, went to heaven. And there he asked God, Lord, I was having such a faith in you. I mean, there was a boat and things, and I was waiting for you to save me. And God said, I know. I sent you a boat. But you did not climb up. I sent you a helicopter. What else do you want? Do you want me to be the pilot too? You know, it's like people, God provides the remedy, and it's like, oh no, I'm going to wait. God said the remedy is what? Jesus. So the condition is Christ. Here, Jesus is that boat. Jesus is that chopper. Your job and mine is to climb aboard. Get on it if you want to be saved. You see, the boat is unconditional. Everybody, come on. People say, oh, no, I'm going to ferry. Be safer. You know, but the one that Jesus provided was this one, and your job will be to climb aboard. Get on it if you want to be saved. So people must take it. People must abide by his condition. Faith in Jesus is a prerequisite for you and I to be saved. For you and I to obtain salvation. Without Jesus, salvation is not possible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but you must believe in him. Jesus is given for everyone, every nation on earth, but people must believe in him. If they reject him, they will not be saved. That's what I'm saying. God's saving love is conditional. God to save you, there's a condition. How? Believe in Jesus. You know, God is so powerful, he's sovereign, but there's something God cannot ever do, and it's to take your freedom away. He created you with the ability to choose. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary. Come to me. You hear the call, come. He's not going to say, okay, you don't want to come? Here, me, you. He's not going to do that to you. God doesn't force himself, because love does not force on the people. He loves you. It's like, I'm here. I provide the remedy, the condition for you, but you just got to come. Faith in Jesus gets you to a right standing with God. Faith in Jesus, the Bible talks about, also declares you righteous before God. It's really faith in Jesus. That's what makes the difference in everything, in our relationship with God. It reconciles you and I. It reconciles us to God. So God did his part in opening the door so that people will be saved. He opened the door. You and I must walk through that door. Get the door. He gave Jesus. Through him, you and I can be saved. See, you don't get to experience salvation if you don't want to the conditions. And the only condition God, the Lord has, is faith in Jesus. So God's saving love is conditional. God's first response in saving us, unconditional. I hope that you get that. God's first response in saving the world, unconditional. What is it that he did? He gave Jesus unconditionally to everyone. Jesus even died unconditionally for everyone. But in order for them to have a relationship with Jesus, there are conditions. Faith in him, abiding his love, obey my commands. I mean, all the promises of God, in order for you to benefit from them, are conditions. Because without conditions and rules, love is an impossibility. You know, how many times people think that, oh, you know, if you love me, just let me do what I want. That's not love. You know, and so in the Bible, when you think about in Hebrews 12, when he talks about that God, the people that he loves, he disciplines. Part of loving people is disciplining. It's a condition. You know, it's like, and you know, when we go through trials, if you're loved by God, he says that one of the signs that you are a legitimate child of God is that you go through discipline. It's because love disciplines. Love hurts. You know, and so that's part of God's loving you. You know, we do that to our kids. You think that we're giving pow-pow just because, well, we feel like giving pow-pow today. No, it's because they did not abide by some standards that we have, and now we're correcting that, and we had to just get the chancla or some other thing so that they get, oh, you know. And they don't understand. It's like, well, you don't love me because you hit me. The child, like, loving means you don't hit me. Love means you don't tell me no. And that's just, I mean, in our society, it's destroying families. Love has conditions. Without conditions, love is impossible. God sets the standard right here. Faith in the Son, that's what people must show. That's what people must do. Believe in Jesus. God cannot save you if you refuse to believe in Jesus. And I want to leave you with that verse that I quoted in John 3:36. John said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. What's the promise? Eternal life. What's the condition? Believes in the Son. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. What's the promise? You will not see life if you reject the Son. For God's wrath still remains on you. Ouch. So whoever has the Son has life. You got Jesus. You believe in him, you have life. You reject him, don't expect to go to heaven. Don't expect to see life, because he says God's wrath, God still sees you as an enemy. Why? Because you rejected his condition. God still loves you, that he gave you a solution. He gave you this remedy, but you wanted to, I don't need that. You know, it's almost like the doctor recommends you need to take two of these, and you just go home and put them on top of the refrigerator. Oh yeah, that's the medicine. I'm going to get better. Will you? Not until you take it. So God's provided the solution, Jesus, to save the world. God wants to save everyone, but we must take Jesus. We must believe in him. We must make Jesus ours in order for us to be saved, because he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So this idea, God's love unconditional or conditioned? Without condition, love is impossible. God's first response in saving the world, unconditional. God providing the remedy, unconditional. But to be saved, you must meet his condition, faith in Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning?